I've got the NIV in front of me. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. Tom's waving. Okay. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praises. This is God's word. Welcome, Matt.
I'm going to stand up here, actually. See me better. Well, I know I'm worshiping with a Baptist congregation today because the front pews are open and the back pews are full. Well, that's great. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, and I hope... Oh, I'm just in your way. Well, that's... Okay. It's a pleasure to be with you all today, and we're going to be talking, teaching, hopefully, out of Joshua chapter 2. We're going to be talking about the character of Rahab. But before we get into that, I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction to my little family. They're here today, but they've tucked away themselves in the nursing room, which is fine. So my wife, Caitlin, beautiful wife, Caitlin, and we have a six-week-old son named Daniel. We've got two dogs as well. You can see one of them there, a little polar bear representation. And then, unfortunately, we also have a chihuahua. He's not pictured for obvious reasons, but we love him. And so we're absolutely pleased to be able to go through this process with you, see where the Lord leads, and it's been a pleasure to meet you. The few of you have met so far. Absolute blessing. So we're going to set up here a little bit leading into Joshua chapter 2. And as we're leading up to Joshua chapter 2, we have the nation of Israel, and they have been miraculously led out of Egypt under undeniably God's hand of guidance, led into the desert with the pursuing Egyptians sunken into the Red Sea after they miraculously, it would probably appear as magic to the Egyptians, but miraculously crossed on dry ground while the Egyptians were crushed by the waves. And they spent some time traveling through the desert till they arrived at the promised land, where they were provided for their necessities, food, water, and protection by the Lord, undeniably so. And they arrive at the promised land. Moses sends in 12 spies to scout out what's going on. The report that was brought back had the Israelites so gripped by fear that they abandoned their call to the promised land, and they abandoned their faith in their God, their provider and protector, and spent, as punishment, 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now, at the end of Deuteronomy, we see that Moses is dying. He appoints Joshua to be the next leader of the people of Israel. He gives them a swan song of all the do's and don'ts when you do inherit the land. And he's talking to a new generation of people, a people that did not reject God or the promised land, at least not yet. And so once Joshua takes charge, they cross into the promised land. They're at the banks of the Jordan. They've already defeated several armies with the Lord's assistance. And some of that territory has been divided up already upon the Reubenites, half of the tribe of Manasseh, and the Gadites. And they're about to cross over the river into the Jordan. And this is where we start in Joshua chapter 2. So Moses sent how many spies into the promised land? 12. How many came back with a bad report? 10. How many came back with a good report? 2. How many spies does Joshua then decide to send in to scout out Jericho? 2. And he was one of those spies. I kind of imagine the conversation that led up to that between him and Caleb, right? We got it, right? There was 2 of us, right? We didn't need those other 10. They muddied the waters. Maybe if it was just us, we could have got these people on the right track. Look at the size of these grapes. Who doesn't like grapes? You know, 2's the right number, Caleb. Okay, 2. You're the boss. 2. So they send 2 spies in. And so Joshua sends 2 spies in. We'll get the passage up here. If you guys have your Bibles, you can feel free to open to Joshua chapter 2. Now, I'm an NIV boy. I grew up on it. I know that the ESV is technically a little bit closer to the original text, but the variation between the ESV and NIV is very little, so I'm going to do it. You know, I've got a lot of background in the NIV, and it just feels comfortable, even if the shoe is a little bit off. I've worn it in, and I'm ready to keep on going. So you guys feel free to read along in the ESV. That's fine. I've got the NIV up here if you want to follow along with what I'm reading up here. And as I was preparing for this message, my wife was reading a book. I can't remember the title of it, but she told me, she's like, I really like books that just get right into it, just right in the meat and potato. She's like, I'm on page 20 of this book, and there's already been an affair, and somebody's a hostage. There's all sorts of things going on in this book, and it's page 20. And I'm like, well, Joshua 2 gets right into it too. So we got the spies sent in, and we see the quality of these spies by verse 2. Verse 2, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here to spy on the land. Right out the gate, they've already been caught. Great spies. Not only this, they know exactly where they are. Verse 3, so the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. Not only do they know who the spies are representing, where they are, but they also know the purpose of the spies being there. It's like, those are your jobs as a spy. Don't reveal any of that information. Done it already. So, I mean, they're not doing a great job. So far, they're 0 for 3, but we'll see if they can bring this in the end game. So we flip here, and verse 4, we see that Rahab has actually decided that despite the influence of the guards, despite the order of the king, she doesn't want to turn these men in. Now, who is the character of Rahab? We're going to stop here before we keep reading too much further. She is listed as a prostitute or a harlot, depending on your the version of the scripture you're reading from. And what is that? Well, we know what a prostitute is. A harlot is a little bit more of a descriptive nature, and we've also maybe